La fata illa lila, saifa illa dhulfaqar. La fata illa lila, saifa illa dhulfaqar.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today we want to look at the 19th tradition from 110 Lessons for Life from the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali. May God's peace and blessings be upon him. And the topic for today is that individual who is truly the richest of all. Now, when you understand, or when we want to understand about richness and poverty, first of all, we have to appreciate the fact that from our perspective of Islam that we're coming from this angle of the religious teachings of the Quran and the Prophet and his noble family, we understand richness and poverty to be at two levels. One is an external and one is an internal. And we'll get to what we mean shortly of what these two forms of richness and poverty mean. Let us first look at the tradition from the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, in which he states the following. There is no greater wealth than possessing a sound intellect, and there is no greater poverty than being in a state of self-imposed unawareness. Now, our scholars tell us that, again, richness and poverty are of two types. You have one which is based upon external factors. So, for example, a person who is a millionaire or multi-millionaire, they are rich from the outward perspective. Somebody who is at a very high position in society, maybe he's a governmental figure, maybe he's a leader of a country, maybe he's a leader of a community or an organization. He has richness or free. He's free of need of other people because of the social status that he has. Somebody, for example, who is very physically fit, who is able to fend and take care of themselves, they are free of need of other people. If they get into trouble, they can take care of themselves. So at one level, this individual or these sorts of people who are affluent or who have power, who have status within society, and they are needless of other individuals. Yes, at one level this may be important, but ultimately we see that even the richest of the rich, at one level they are poor in terms of if they don't have knowledge, if they need to go to experts to fill in a void that they have. So yes, they have wealth, which has kept them needless of other people's wealth, but they are poor in other aspects of their lives. Somebody who is physically fit, who can defend himself or herself physically, yes, they are free of need, they are self-sufficient in that area of life, but at the same time, they are still in need, again, of doctors, of experts in a specific field. So their poverty lies in another area. And this, again, is the same for any of the traditions that we look at, any of the careers or paths in life that people seem to take. It's interesting, there's a story, before we look at the second example, we have a story which is at the time of Bahlul. Bahlul, he was an individual who lived around the time, of, it was during the Abbasid Caliphate, and this was over the time of the seventh Imam from the family of the Prophet, Imam Musa ibn Ja'far al-Kadhim, alayhi salam, may God's peace and blessings be upon him. And Bahlul is interesting because he pretended to be insane, to be mentally unfit, so that he would not be persecuted and tortured and put in jail and killed because of his love for the Prophet Muhammad and his noble family. So one time an individual comes to him and he says that I have an amount of money I want to give in charity, but I need to find the most poorest of individuals within this government, within this kingdom, within this country that we live in. Can you tell me who is the most needy of this? And Bahlul says that, well, that's an easy question to answer. That's nobody other than Harun al-Rashid, the caliphate, the caliph from the Abbasid government, that he is really the neediest of all people. So why don't you go and give that to him? So this is Bahlul's way of making a point, and at the same time using humor in his statements to convey a message of the Islamic teachings. The second and the more important form of this freeness of need, the one who is the richest of all, as the Commander of the Faithful states, is that individual who has an internal richness, the one who is internally of the most wealthiest of individuals. And this is a person who has control over his or her soul, over their desires, over their whims, over anything which would affect or try to affect them from the outside. So for example, a person who is not swayed by power, by being in a position of authority, one who has true knowledge of Allah, one who is not looking for wealth to purchase stuff because he thinks stuff will get him to a status. Somebody who has freed him or herself from the clutches of materialism, of social boundaries that society sets for us sometimes, that we have to fall within that landscape of wearing certain clothes, of doing our hair in a certain way, of driving a certain type of car, of living in a certain home, of all of these societal constructs that try to limit us and actually make us captives. The commentator of the hadith tells us that when you are at that level, when we reach that level of not worrying about other people, that we have our Islamic ethics that are building us up, that are keeping us real and in check, and that we are able to live fruitful lives based upon such teachings and such ethics and such morals, then actually we become the richest of individuals, because we're not looking to be enriched or to have our lives being dictated by other people. We are able to rely on ourselves, and this is something which can never be taken away. When we have contentment with whatever Allah, whatever our Creator has given us, whether it be a lot or a little, then we are free from the need of other individuals. We're not like the millionaires and the billionaires who need to go to the bankers and their investors and investment firms to continuously safeguard and protect and build their assets. No, they need those individuals. They can't live without them. But if you're content with what you have, then you are actually in control of yourself, and you're not having to rely on other people. So you are actually the richest of individuals. And we see this nothing better than in the life of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, may God's peace and blessings be upon him. That after the death of the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family, that for 25 years, that's a quarter of a century, the Commander of the Faithful sat quietly while his right of the caliphate was usurped. It was stolen by three individuals. But yet we see after 25 years, when he takes over the reins of governance, he first of all tells the community of Muslims that this is not something he is desiring. He's not running after power and authority. He's not one who wants to lead society, but rather society wants him to lead them. He tells us in his compilation of sermons, Najul Balagha, that the caliphate to him is worth less than a ripped pair of shoes that he's mending, that he's stitching together. He tells us that the caliphate to him is worth less than the bone of a leper in the mouth of a pig. He tells us that this caliphate, if he was asked to steal a leaf from the mouth of an ant, for the power to receive the power to govern over the entire kingdom of Islam, that he would not do it. So we see that he was not captive of his desires. He was not needing of other people and other things to give him self-worth, but rather he himself had that within himself. He didn't need other people to justify him or to give him that status. He had that status. He has that status. And it didn't mean anything to him, such is that when he accepted the caliphate after 25 years of oppression that he faced, he didn't build massive palaces and kingdoms as the previous caliphs and those who came after him did. No, he lived in a very modest home in the city of Kufa in present-day Iraq. He ate the simplest of foods. He sat on the floor with his servants, with his subjects rather. And he didn't consider himself to be any greater than anybody else within the Islamic kingdom of that time. So we ask our Creator, we ask God that we are able to reach to that same level, that we are not to be captives of this world, but rather that we can free ourselves and that we can lead the life of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, because that indeed will be our true richness, that we will truly find richness and wealth in living the life of Imam Ali. May God's peace and blessings be upon him. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.